Spirit, we are born in the Lord, and we pray that our unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Oh, praise to the Father from whom all things come, and oh, praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and oh, praise to the Spirit who makes us one, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Friends, welcome to St. Stephen's online worship service today. Please say with me the holy greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are so pleased to provide this service to you, and we do love to hear from you. Thank you to those people who wrote in to us last week. Your words are very encouraging. This week is a communion service, as you can see, and if you love the Lord, you are welcome at his table. It's not ours. It belongs to Jesus, and he calls you to his feast. Today is also a celebration of the work of the UCW, the United Church Women, and we are acknowledging their work through this congregation over many, many years. There'll be more about that later in the service. We also, on a communion day, acknowledge the land that we are so free to worship upon. So hear these words. We are honored to gather, serve, and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Would you join me in today's call to worship? People of God, look around and see the faces of those we know and love, neighbours and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts. People of God, look around and see the faces of those we hardly know, strangers, visitors, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand. People of God, look around and see all the images of God assembled here. In me, in you, in each of us, God's Spirit shines for all to see. People of God, come, let us worship together. If you usually light a candle when you come to worship, would you join me now as we welcome Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray this responsive prayer together. Come to us, Holy God, as we gather before you. Encircle us with your love. Bless us with your sustaining presence. Surround us with your grace. Draw us round your living word, and bind us to one another as disciples of Christ, whose Spirit is in our midst. Amen. God is faithful and forgives us before we even know what we are asking him to forgive us for. But today, let's pray the prayer of confession together as we come to the table. Merciful God, when we hesitate in our witness, when we falter in our discipleship, or when we weaken in our faith, stir up within us the vision of your kingdom, and with the power of your Holy Spirit, send us forth to do our part in word and deed, so that your will may be done on earth. In Jesus' name, and for his sake, we pray. Amen.
My friends, hear the psalmist's proclamation. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to God, and the night is as bright as the day. The God who has promised to never leave us or forsake us has come to us in Jesus Christ to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal all of our infirmities, and to remove everything that separates us from God. So arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, as this is a Sunday when we will celebrate communion together, we will say one of the creeds of the church now. This creed for us for this month is the United Church's A New Creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we celebrate the UCW today, I'd like to share with you some of its history. In doing some research about the history of the United Church Women's Group here at St. Stephen's, I found that the important role played by women in our church began long before the UCW came into being. The following is taken from the UCW Handbook of the United Church of Canada. Women have always played an integral role in the life of the church. From as early as the 19th century, women worked as teachers, missionaries, nurses, and provided care in their communities. As time went on, fundraising and social function organizing were also added to the women's roles. When the United Church officially formed in 1925, the Ladies' Aid, later called the Women's Association and the Women's Mission Society, were doing work at home and abroad. The Women's Association focused on supporting the local church and community, while the Women's Missionary Society was more involved with education and world mission. In 1953, a committee was established by the General Council of the United Church of Canada to study women's work in the church, with the goal of formally recognizing the work and contribution of United Church women. In 1956, the 17th General Council initiated the Commission on the Work of Women in the Church. As a result, General Counsel took action to ensure that women could share in much more meaningful way in all the work of the church by allowing them to participate on the boards in all United Churches at all levels. Approval was given to this organization, United Church Women, at the General Council meeting held in Edmonton, Alberta in 1960. The UCW officially came into being on January 1, 1962. Its purpose was to unite women of the congregation for the total mission of the church and to provide a medium through which we may express our loyalty and devotion to Jesus Christ in Christian witness, study, fellowship, and service. Well, here at St. Stephen's, things are no different. Women have played an integral role in the life of church here too. In searching through the archives, minutes of meetings held by the St. Stephen's Ladies' Aid date back to January 1941. In December 1941, the ladies voted to join the Women's Association Presbytery, and beginning in 1942, the organization was referred to as the WA. Around 1953, it appears that a second women's group was formed at St. Stephen's called Evening Circle. They held monthly meetings in the evenings, taking turns hosting in each other's homes. Many of these women had young children, so the meetings were held in the evenings when the kids had gone to bed. It's uncertain how long WA continued. Minutes were found until July 1954. The Evening Circle became the group of the United Church Women. They continued to meet monthly on Tuesdays, and eventually the meetings were moved to the church when membership became too large to meet in their homes and they didn't have the room. Monthly meetings consisted of a program, often involving a guest speaker, a business meeting, which usually involved planning some fundraising, and a time of fellowship and devotion. The UCW became a close-knit group, supporting one another through their work in the church and also in their personal lives. These women were a hard-working bunch with extraordinary organizational skills. They were involved in every facet of church life, from greeting on Sunday mornings and teaching Sunday school, to decorating the church for every special occasion, providing floral arrangements for the sanctuary each Sunday, providing Bibles for Sunday school kids as they moved up to a higher grade, and hosting World Days of Prayer and holding a special candle lighting service every Christmas. They could always be counted on for the numerous cleaning work bees that happened around the church building, in and out in the gardens. And then there's the cooking. These women could cook. Long before the church hall was built, the UCW catered weddings, funerals, luncheons, church picnics, and the annual fall supper, all by working out of the tiny kitchen in the old lounge. For large events, all the food was carried over to the community hall next door where the events took place. More recently, the UCW catered the monthly Probus meetings as well as the teas for memorial services. They have made so many sandwiches, squares, cookies, and muffins over the years, we could probably fill the entire church hall from floor to ceiling. Did you know they have also published 3 cookbooks? One in 1960, one in 1973, and one in 1984. A large role of the UCW has been that of fundraising. Probably the event that the UCW are most famous for is their annual Christmas Bazaar. The bazaar started in early 1950 in the Qualicum Beach Community Hall, where tables were set up to sell items to raise funds for the church and for community outreach. There was sewing, knitting, home baking, flowers, jewelry, Christmas decorations, and their world-famous tea, complete with dainty sandwiches and squares. Over the years, the bazaar made some changes, adding new things like a huge white elephant sale run with the help of the men and a silent auction. It also changed from being held on Friday nights to Saturday mornings, and from serving tea to to serving a soup and a bun for lunch. Through the course of those years, the UCW raised thousands of dollars through their efforts. By 2015, when the larger community was filled with Christmas craft fairs and weekly garage sales, and volunteers to help sew and bake became more and more difficult, the bazaar came to a close. But fundraising didn't end there. Over the years, the UCW has held plant sales, bridge luncheons, sold church plates, spoons, and note cards. And how many of you remember the wholesale company Regal, where the UCW hosted parties and guests could purchase home decor and gift items? In addition, the UCW collected stamps, NABOB coupons, and Canadian Tire money to support several organizations. Funds raised by the UCW were not only for the operation of the local church, they also financially supported the Salvation Army Food Bank, SOS, Vancouver School of Theology, First United Church in Vancouver, Heart House, local school lunch programs, and Young Life. They supported mission projects around the world in Africa and Guatemala, and they sponsored numerous foster children. They contributed to the Town of Qualicum Beach's Defibrillator Fund, BC Guide Dog Services, and programs for children like the Rainbow Program and Moorcroft Camp. So all this work can make a group tired, and some of its members have been there from the very beginning. Restructuring of the church's organizational system over the years meant that some of these things like cleaning, gardening, Christian education, and the Fall Supper became the responsibility of other ministry teams. And then there was COVID. The inability to meet in person for meetings and gather in large groups for special events had a profound effect on this group of servants. The opportunities to serve were few, and the energy required when they could serve was great. So in 2021, the St. Stephen's UCW made the difficult decision to retire. Now that we can gather again, we wanted to pay a special tribute to this extraordinary group of women. Over the years, we have had to say goodbye to many UCW friends as they have passed away or moved from Qualicum to be closer to family. The United Church Women have been such an important part of the foundation of this church, and we would like to offer each and every one of them a huge thank you for a job well done.
Psalm 112, The Blessings of the Righteous. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. This is the word of the Lord.
Our scripture reading for today is actually the reading that was selected by the National United Church Women's Organization to be part of services like this one, recognizing the closure, or as we prefer to refer to it, the retirement of a local UCW group. Today, I have the privilege of reflecting together with you for a few moments on this wonderful psalm as we celebrate and show our gratitude for the work that has been done by our UCW over so many years. Today, we are celebrating together the way these women's faithful and tireless service has contributed to God's work of building his kingdom in this world. Now, for those of you UCW women who may be thinking right about now that that's a bit much for me to say, it's not. Your work over these many years has been part of that, part of God's work in this world. And we want you to know that. Whoever selected this reading knew their scriptures so well, because this psalm is really entirely fitting for us to turn to today. It is a brief, uplifting piece that highlights the virtues that are formed in us when we're able to live in the ways that God calls us to live in the way that Jesus teaches. It describes how people who live in God's ways are both blessed by God themselves and also become a blessing to others. It is a piece of what we call wisdom literature and is actually the second of a two-psalm set that were written to be read together. In Psalm 111, that comes right before this one, we're talking about God. That psalm is all about God. It describes God's gracious and compassionate character and talks about the great and glorious things that God has done. And it ends by preparing us for what's coming in this psalm we've heard today. It shifts our focus in that ending from God now to God's people. So Psalm 111 ends, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." And then Psalm 112 picks up right where that one leaves off. "Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments." These two psalms are kind of sewn together with these affirmations that those who fear the Lord will be blessed with both wisdom and happiness. Now, if you were with us last week, right about now, you might be starting to feel a little confused, because last Sunday I assured you all that God does not want us to come to him in fear, but rather wants us to be drawn by his love. So it is completely understandable if you're wondering how this notion of fearing God could possibly fit with all that. Well, before we go any further, let's address that. Let's make sure we're all on the same page about what is meant when the Bible talks about fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord that brings wisdom and happiness like this, it's not the same kind of fear that we feel when we dread something frightening or terrible. It is something else entirely. In this context, fear is the word that biblical writers use to describe the sense of awe and reverence that comes to us when we encounter God. It's that feeling you get when you are in the presence of someone or something that overwhelms you in a really good way. It's like the feeling a small child has for their parents, parents who seem so big and all-powerful, parents they know and trust to love and care for them completely. It's the feeling you get when, for just a moment, you realize that you are in the presence of a love that surrounds and enfolds you, a love that is so deep that you cannot possibly comprehend it, a love that is so entirely focused on you that you almost feel like you want to hide a little bit. It's a lot. Because it is so gentle and beautiful and somehow at the same time so strong and powerful. That feeling is a little like fear, but in a really good way. And it is what is meant when Scripture talks about us fearing the Lord. This awe and incredible reverence. Well, these two psalms teach us that this awesome and at times overwhelming love is the nature of the God we worship. And knowing and experiencing that same love is the real source of wisdom and happiness in our lives. That love truly will shape the way you live. So that's why our psalm for today picks up where Psalm 111 leaves off, with this idea of the fear of the Lord. Well, with the shift from that last psalm to this one, we turn from God and his love to God's people, to those who have let that love shape the way that they live. In many ways, these two psalms are a perfect illustration of what I was trying to say last week. Remember, we were thinking about how our good deeds don't earn us God's incredible grace and love, but are actually the way we respond to that love. We have a great God who blesses us with his love every day. And our experience of that naturally leads us to reflect that love and blessing in our own lives. This is what happens when we live lives like we hear about in this psalm. Ways that we've actually been blessed to see embodied and exemplified in each of our St. Stephen's United Church women. Ways that, as the psalmist describes, are gracious, compassionate, generous, and honest, and just. Ways that are steadfast and exhibit a deep, deep trust in God. You know, since the days of Abraham, the people of God have been promised the blessings of God, and in turn, we have also been called to be a blessing to others ourselves. It is God's plan for us to be sources of light in a world that is still plagued by too much darkness. So much of what we see in the history of our UCW, what we heard in Adele's reflections, are examples of how we see they brought this light they know in Christ to others, in gentle, supportive, humble, and yet incredibly significant ways. As we heard, their work and the funds that were raised through it have supported many vital ministries over the years, both here in our church and in our local community, and much further afield than that. Their service truly has contributed to God's kingdom mission here in Qualicum Beach and in the wider world. And so all of that is why the words of this psalm, praising the lives of godly living people, are so fitting for us to hold on to today. They proclaim such beautiful praise for those who, like our United Church women, have feared the Lord and delight greatly in his commands. It really is a beautiful and fitting reading for us today. All good. Which is why that little bit of darkness that comes at the end at first can seem a bit odd. The wicked see the lives and work of the godly, and they're angry, and they gnash their teeth and melt away, and the desire of the wicked comes to nothing. You know, when I first sat to work on this psalm, I wanted to ask Marlene not to read that final verse when she shared the reading with us today. It just feels a bit jarring to me after all of those words of praise and celebration. Well, fortunately for us, I'm not a psalm writer, because I wouldn't have had the wisdom to know what the psalmist knew. That the wicked suddenly appear in this last verse, they have an important role to play in all of this. They act as the perfect foil for the godly people being praised. this jarring introduction of people who don't live in ways that bless others, people who get angry and resent those who do. It just makes the goodness of the lives of the righteous stand out even more. Light is light wherever it is, but like our psalmist, we all know that light that shines in the presence of darkness just seems that much brighter. So set against the ways of the wicked, the lives of those who live with hearts of such grace, compassion, and generosity, they can be seen for the blessing they truly are. And as the psalmist declares, where the lives of the wicked will come to nothing, the lives of godly people, like our United Church women, lives that have been so dedicated to helping others, those lives will bear fruit for the kingdom of God, fruit that will truly endure. And so their lives and their service, it will be our delight to remember forever. Amen.
Good morning. It's my privilege to pray with you this morning. Let's pray. Triune God, Jesus, God beside us, Father, God above us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. Father, we praise you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for your comfort, strength, and compassion. You are the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. Creator God, we thank you for the stunning color orange. We think of flowers, butterflies, sunsets, fall leaves, yummy fruits and vegetables. Orange is also the color that we have come to associate with truth and reconciliation. These are concepts that please you. We continue to pray, and now we pray a prayer from the Catholic Church of Australia. Give us the courage to accept the realities of our history so that we may build a better future for our nation. Teach us to respect all cultures. Teach us to care for our land and waters. Help us to share justly the resources of this land. Help us to bring about spiritual and social change to improve the quality of life for all groups in our communities, especially the disadvantaged. Amen. And today, God, we celebrate with appreciation and joy the United Church Women of St. Stephen's Church. Thank you for their commitment and faithfulness while doing what needed to be done spiritually, physically, financially, and socially. Bless them for all their Christian witness, fellowship, and service. As it says in Proverbs 31, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands for the needy. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. God, we know that for everything there is a season. Thank you for the many seasons these women have served you and your community. And now is the season of rest. Bless them with the knowledge that you rejoice over them and that we love and appreciate these strong women. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, wherever you are, this is Jesus' table. Here, in your home, in the places that you gather. And here at St. Stephen's, we truly believe that Jesus' table is open to all who want to come. So you are welcome. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to do so. All glory and thanksgiving be to you, Almighty God, for creating the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, for making us in your own image, and for watching mercifully over all that you have made. Glory be to you, O Lord. All glory and thanksgiving be to you, our Heavenly Father, for redeeming us in Jesus Christ, your only Son, who took our nature upon him and in obedience accepted death even on a cross, who by your power was raised from the dead and exalted forevermore. Glory be to you, O Lord. Therefore, with all creation and with all the company of the redeemed, we magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O God, Most High. Eternal God, King of heaven and earth, the life and death of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we proclaim. His resurrection from the dead and his ascension we confess. His coming in triumph we await. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Wherefore, O Father, we set forth before you this holy supper, following his command, who the night in which he was betrayed took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. Who in the same way took the cup, saying, This is my blood of the new covenant. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive all power and wealth, wisdom and might, honor and glory and praise. And now, Almighty God, we pray you send your Holy Spirit, that the bread which we break may be to us communion in the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless communion in the blood of Christ, that being built up in love, we may be strengthened in the unity of the faith and come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And here, O God, in union with our Lord Christ, who gave himself for us in the world, and in fellowship with the whole church in heaven and on earth, we offer you ourselves to be a living sacrifice, praying you to accept us with this our worship of praise and thanksgiving. This we ask, trusting in the eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto you, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. Let's pray together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements in the places where you are.
The presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him all sin is found. We stand for
of the Lord, the Holy One is here.
Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with
Let's say together our prayer after communion. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world united in courage and peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you again for all of your faithful giving to the work of this congregation. Will you join me now as we pray to dedicate those gifts to God? God of all peoples and God of all places, we present these offerings for today, and we remember again all that has been offered to you through the ministries of this congregation, especially the ministry of our United Church women. We ask that all of those gifts may continue to be used to extend your liberating reign, and that each one who has given so much would know that they are a part of your answer to the cries of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To you, the women of our UCW, as you journey onward with wisdom and conviction, may you do so knowing that you are held in the hearts and prayers of your congregation, who treasure the faithful service you have shared so generously. And for all of us as a church family at St. Stephen's, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon you. May the love of God, our Creator, embrace you, and may the presence of the Holy Spirit encourage and enliven you this day and for all your days. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, my sins.